Dr. Dina should be with us shortly. We're setting things up from our end.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Ah, cannot complain. It's been a fun week out here in LA.
Yes, lots of events, lots of things going on in LA.
Oh, yeah, always.
Right? It's like nonstop over there, cannabis events and venues and all that sort of good stuff over there.
That's right.
Well, I'm so happy you could join us here with Latina Cannabinoirs. Actually, I was telling everyone how we met briefly last year in the Women of Cannabis, National Women of Cannabis Conference in Vegas, and you had the presentation, and here in Latinas Cannabinoirs, we're always looking for women who inspire, educate, and elevate us. So you have all those traits, and I wanted to have you, you know, with us so you can share a story with our Latino community and let them know how a pioneer, how women pioneer in cannabis are doing since 2003 in South California. So thank you so much for your time and for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I think this is so exciting. Every time we bridge the gap between different countries or different states and the way that we all do things so differently, our laws and regulations are completely different in everywhere we go, right?
That's right.
It's nice to be able to bounce these ideas off of one another and create a community, which I'm all about. And I love reaching out to the Latina network of cannapreneurs out there because, you know, we need you all. We need you ladies because the men are still scared. The women have a nurturing side. And the one thing I notice whenever I talk to some of my Latino friends, they always say, like, their grandfather was terrified of mota, but their grandmother used to make, like, she would take marijuana and she would put it into a tea or alcohol, and they would use it on their skin for arthritis or problems. So secretly, all the grandmas have already known that this plant is magic. Right?
Yes.
And they've been making this witch's brew.
And
I hope that more people start doing this.
Definitely, definitely. That's what I would always tell. Like, this is, the cannabis is a plant that it's been here for centuries. And we're just starting to use it back as we were. Like you say, like you very well explained, our abuelitas, our grandmas used to use tea, like tea of different herbs. And now we're coming back to that natural side of things. And that's something that we definitely have to break the stigma and educate everyone on how great cannabis is. And what better way than do it with empowering women like yourself? So tell us a little bit more about those who don't know you, which you're very well known. But just a little brief of what you do, the organizations that you run.
Well, first of all, I do like my hash. So I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to be taking dabs during this conversation.
Super, super. And we say when someone smokes, buen provecho, like bon appetit. That's something
nice.
That, you know, like have a good one.
Thank you. I love
buen
that.
Buen provecho.
Well, for those of you, sorry, I have a barking dog. Let's see. Lola?
Lola. Lola. Hi, Lola.
Yes, I know. She's 14 years old. She's a little cranky.
Oh, wow.
Well, I first started in the cannabis industry. I fell into this world. I was working in the fashion business, and a friend of mine reached out to me one day to tell me that he had good news and bad news. The good news is that he met this amazing woman, and he decided to marry her. But the bad news was that after they got married, he went to get life insurance, and he went to see a doctor because you have to get a physical. And they found that he had cancer that was stage 4, had spread throughout his body, and he was basically taking preparations to die because they told him he had 6 months to live.
Oh, wow, that's so sad.
It was horrible. And he reached out to me, not really to tell me that he was dying, but he said that I have $50,000 saved up in my bank account, and I would rather leave it to my wife than have me spend it all on medication that doesn't work and have me die and leave her broke.
Wow.
So he wanted to kill himself.
So he already thought of it. I mean, he had a thought process of what he wanted to do. He was, you know, wow, that is so sad.
Yeah, he really wanted to end his life. And it was like, I just couldn't understand this. So I brought him a joint because I thought that would make him into, like, have a better mood and be happier. And I didn't realize that that joint was going to help his nausea and help him keep down his pills. And that joint changed his life. He's still alive. He's cancer-free. He's married and has children and living a happy life. So that was the first step for me was I watched it happen with my own eyes, and I needed people to have access to this. And so when my friend first started using cannabis, his wife is from Sweden. And in Sweden, their drug laws are very, very serious. And you do not smoke cannabis in Sweden, or you're going to jail.
Wow.
And so she was terrified of him using it. And even though I kept saying, like, it's okay, it's medical, she was not okay. So from there, I started this discovery of finding a doctor that would write him a letter of recommendation so that he wouldn't go to jail. And I understood his wife's concern was if he went to jail, how was he going to get chemo in jail? And so we were able to get this doctor's note, and when I was in the office with the doctor, I said to him, why is nobody in LA doing this? Because I drove all the way to San Francisco, which is a 5.5-6 hour drive to find a doctor, because nobody was doing this where I lived.
And that was in 2003?
That was in like the end of 2002, early 2003.
Which they have the Compassion Act over there running,
yes,
right?
Since 1996, but nobody knew what it meant. Like, it was like,
that's what education.
Know.
So since the 90s, it's been medically legal in California. It's just that there hasn't been education, or there weren't at that time, that there were doctors who could prescribe you. Wow. So you have to drive 5 hours to just get a recommendation, a prescription for medical cannabis.
Yeah, just a recommendation. And I said to the doctor, I wish I had someone like you that would come to LA and work with me. And he said, let's do it. So, like a week later, we had an office that was open, and we were seeing patients in LA.
Amazing. Wow. So you brought that experience that you have with your friend, and you just said, let's just bring it. Let's just make it accessible for you know, people in LA. Because so there weren't any doctors? What was the educational for the medical side of it? How did doctors get?
So there were doctors. The doctors were afraid of losing their license if they recommended cannabis because they didn't know.
Wow.
And so that one doctor that I found, he just didn't give a shit. And so he was like, this is important. He got it. He was like us. He knew. I thought he was crazy. I really thought he was crazy. I'm like, this guy's just writing a note for marijuana. Like, who does that? And now look at my world. It's surrounded by this.
Surrounded.
So I'm such a believer. I've watched over the years people heal themselves with this plant when traditional pharmaceuticals couldn't help them. So, you know, that part's pretty cool. But from there, everyone would ask me, where do I get my weed? Like, where do I get our weed at? And so I opened a dispensary right after, and we've had a dispensary literally about 18 years now.
Wow, again, a pioneering cannabis. So how was that experience? Because now it's different, but I'm sure you had a lot of obstacles, of challenges when you first opened up. And when was it, 2003?
You know what's funny? It's the obstacles I faced then are like a piece of cake compared to what I'm facing now.
Really? How is that? How's that changed from 2003 to now?
Because before it was like I had thugs, and like you had cartel members, and you had people trying to take advantage of you, and they didn't know how to handle a woman. Like they were not expecting me, and I have a lot of guy friends. My dad's from New York. I tend to think like, perfect example, Snoop Dogg, who's a good friend of mine and I've known since I was 15. He has a nickname for me that nobody knows, but I'm going to tell you today, live on Instagram.
Wow, such a privilege.
He says I'm a puffer fish. Do you know what a puffer fish is? It's those little fish, and they get mad or scared, and then they get really big. That's what I, apparently I'm a puffer fish, because when I get pissed, I
you blow up. Like,
and I scare people, apparently. So that was fine. All those crazy days were like, that's all stuff that would be in a book, and it's like, everyone's going to want to read it because it's epic. Nowadays, it's like licensing, regulation, compliance, packaging. It's like boring.
Yes, now dealing with the government directly, making sure you're in compliance is definitely a challenge in today's world. And like you say, you come with a different background, so maybe it's easier for you to manage people than, you know, be able to get all this filing and paperwork on it. So, wow, what a journey. So you have another nickname.
I think you know, though, if you're going to be in any business or any industry, you need to be smart and you need to know everything about that industry, about that world, be educated. And that's what I spent a lot of time, you know, on with cannabis. And for me, it's about helping people. It's not about the money. It's never been about the money. If it was about the money, I'd probably be locked up behind bars in the federal government somewhere in a federal prison, because greed makes you do fucked up things.
Sure.
Okay.
That's true.
And for me, it was never about the money. It was about the right thing, about being on the right side of history, about one day I'm going to have the president of the United States, whoever he is going to thank me and say, you were right. I just want to hear my parents say, you were right. You know, that to me is worth more than any dollar amount. But when I have a cancer patient who comes into me, into our store, and says, we were just diagnosed, we were told that there's really no hope for us, we have 6 weeks to live, and we are able to give a hope to people. The hope is the number one, because I think when you have hope, you tend to fight things better, right? If you're not giving up, and we come in and we're like, don't give up. We're going to start you with Rick Simpson oil, some nice RSO. We're going to get your levels up, and you're going to start feeling better. And watching these people go from like their deathbed to running marathons, and I've seen that. You can't tell me that cannabis doesn't help you.
Exactly. That's something that we definitely need to work on and have the government more involved when it comes to clinical research, when it comes to trials, when it comes to actually studying the benefits of cannabis. Because right now we use it as a last option when it really should be the first option that we use on many patients that maybe the side effects of other medicines are really hampering their health. So it's
I'm not against pharmaceuticals. I'm someone who, I smoke a lot of weed with random people at events. I get sick all the time because, you know, we call it cup cough. You go to a cannabis cup and then you leave with a cough. And let me tell you something. I need antibiotics. Like, weed is not going to help me when I'm that sick. But when you're dealing with certain ailments, cannabis is better. Like, you know, if you're nauseous, smoke a little cannabis. It's going to stop your nausea. What else out there? A pharmaceutical is going to do that, but it's very expensive. It's actually more money than the cannabis.
Yeah, so, you may get side effects from that also.
Absolutely.
So insomnia is a great one. Right now there's an opioid epidemic. We could save lots of income and medicine, and it could help definitely grow the community in a different way. So I know you have different types of, you have a dispensary. Tell us about your organizations, because you do a lot, not only the dispensary, you're all around. So tell us a little bit about your entrepreneur side of things.
So I am I'm a co-owner and the VP of operations and chief marketing officer for a company called P&S Ventures. I did not come up with that name. My partners did. I make fun of them constantly because if you say it fast, it sounds like penis ventures.
That's true.
I kind of want to change it to big penis ventures, but that's another story.
But
that's just the parent company name. And we've got, underneath that, we have three dispensaries. We have alternative herbal health services that we affectionately call OzWeHo. And that's our West Hollywood store. We have the OG Collective in Cathedral City. And then we have another store opening in Portland, Oregon right now, which is exciting. So we're expanding out of California. But we also do manufacturing, cultivation, and distribution. Our distribution company is called All Points Distribution. It's very big. And then we also have partnered with many celebrities to create brands on their behalf. So we work with Gary Payton, the very famous basketball star, for his brand called Canna Sports, which is coming out in about two weeks. We have the band 311 doing their grassroots uplifter pen. We have Whoopi and Maya, which is Whoopi Goldberg, doing her products for women. So we're really busy.
Oh my God, you're all around, just from coast to coast.
And then, of course, I consult to TV shows. I worked on the TV show Disjointed as a consultant. The TV show Weeds was loosely based on my life. And now I'm working on another project, which should be coming out in the next couple weeks, which is a female dominant show based on international women in cannabis.
Super. Oh my God. You're like everywhere. You're nonstop. It doesn't matter. You're just nonstop. Just come up with creative ways to continue to expand the cannabis branding and empire of what it is and get more people involved. That makes breaking the stigma, normalize it, make sure that people see it the same, not even the same, just a better way that they see alcohol or this other different types of consumption that is that they have. So how is the consumption in California? Because do they have social consumption over there?
Yes, they just started opening the lounges. It's going to be a slow process.
Okay.
I have a license for one in the desert out in Cathedral City. We haven't started building it out yet. I'm concerned about, as a business owner, and I know the importance of having a place that's dedicated for people to medicate and smoke their cannabis that's safe. But who's going to pay the bills? Because these are like, it gets expensive if you want to have a beautiful place and you're not allowed to sell food, which we thought we were going to be able to. The state said no. So it's going to be interesting to see if these types of businesses stay open.
Wow. And are you able to, for the consumption, can you also sell, or does it have to be like a different venue to sell and to consume?
So you will be they're licensed for consumption and for sales, but you're only allowed to consume it on site. You cannot take it away from them. You have to throw it out before you leave.
Wow. So there's still a lot of hurdles to, you know, learn.
Yes.
Still a lot of trial and error. So hopefully, you know, the consumption will work out and we could, you know, bring those type of different entrepreneur side to Puerto Rico. That's something that Puerto Rico, it has a very good margin and a good geographically place. And we, you know, the Americans don't need passports to come here. We're here medically and we do reciprocal. So it's very good to see how different states are doing. So maybe we could have that example and deploy it here in Puerto Rico.
What's happening in Puerto Rico as far as cannabis? Like, at what point are you at?
Well, in Puerto Rico, it's only medicinally. So you have to get recommended by a doctor. You have to make sure you have one of the 15 to 20 conditions. Get medically the recommendation. And then once you get your card, that it may take to 48 to 36 hours, then you could go to a cannabis dispensary. There is a limit of consumption per month, but I think it's like 42 grams per day that you could, you know, buy. So it's pretty, you know, hefty. And the cannabis tourism, we haven't, you know, exploited like it should, but the medical cannabis tourism is really taking off. We already have around 100,000 patients registered for the medical cannabis program. So hopefully we need to, you know, speed things up when it comes to the medical side. We have different doctors, internationally known doctors, that are now writing books about justification and how to properly, you know, with the patients that they have, they're doing little small trials in the island. And one of the
If I came out to Puerto Rico and I had a medical card, would I be allowed to go in and purchase?
Yes, you would need first to make sure a doctor, like a local doctor, can certify that you're a medical patient.
Oh, and so you have to go. So you take your recommendation and you go to a local doctor.
You go to a doctor.
Yes. They approve it. Oh, so that has to be. So if I get it for random headaches.
Yes.
Is that something that qualifies on the list of qualifications?
Migraine. Yes, migraine.
But if it doesn't say migraine, then the doctor in Puerto Rico will say, "I'm sorry, I can't help you."
Yes, you have to say migraine, but if you have already the card, then it's reciprocated here. So you have no problem. If you already have the medical card, it's just a matter of the doctor checking and confirming that you're a medical patient on your state and because of the medical program. But here, there's also different programs, different websites that they do all the process online. So, for example, different tourists can come and they already have everything set up. So when they hit the island, either by cruise or by plane, when they come, they already have their local recommendation and they can come to different dispensaries with, again, the things that we have
That's
in Puerto
awesome.
Rico. I know, it's something that we definitely need to explore. And the edibles, I mean, Puerto Rico, it's very unique. We've traveled to Vegas and to Colombia, but the things that are coming out of here, just the edibles, we have like hot sauce with cannabis. We have coquito, that it's like a typical drink for Christmas, like an eggnog, but with cannabis infused medicated. We have different local treats that are very typical from our country. So
That's
it's
amazing.
Definitely innovative what is going on. So we want to open up definitely the market to have all the tourists and place Puerto Rico as the Caribbean of cannabis and for everyone to come here, have a great time. It's such a
That's
beautiful,
amazing.
You know, the beaches here are beautiful and it's a great place to come. And that's why we want to have more Latinas involved, have women who inspire us here, who could, you know, break the stigma. That's something that we definitely need to do. Break the stigma, know that there are other women empowered that they want to promote and continue to grow this cannabis community.
Absolutely. I think, you know, how do you go about finding all of these amazing Latinas to join forces with you?
Well, it's a struggle, but once they see the work, what we're doing is how Latinas Canapreneur started was just looking into Puerto Rico, what women were involved in the cannabis industry. And we started interviewing them, getting to more visibility when it comes to their work so they can join in and they could see and empower other women. Because our goal is to continue this trend of educating the next generation of leaders in cannabis. And what better way to have women empowered than and have Latinas and women all around? Because I think, like you said, we are the ones who purchase and who are kind of sneakily know about cannabis. It's just a matter of putting the face out there and making sure to empower other women and say, hey, it's okay. We have a group. We have a community who could empower you, who could help you. So I think it's all about networking and getting to grow those connections with different people.
That's incredible. Are you guys throwing lots of events out in Puerto Rico?
They are. It's just that because it's more a professional setting, we're trying to do more networking events with entrepreneurs, with cannabis entrepreneurs in the island. And that's something that Latinas Canapreneurs want to encourage, to do more events with entrepreneurs so they could educate and get more people involved. And also one of our goals is to create this fund where we could provide a scholarship for a Latina who wants to be in the business, in cannabis, because here in Puerto Rico, even our bud tenders have to take different courses. I think they're one of the best educated workforces when it comes to cannabis. We have to take certain hours of education, get some licensing education, even to be bud tenders. So they're very well-educated human capital here. So one of our goals is to give the scholarship to this Latina who wants to get either certified to be a bud tender and manufacturing and cover her costs when it comes to the licensing and the process of it. So we have different projects here. We'll be in Jamaica too. Hopefully,
nice.
I don't know if you're going to be in Vegas in December, but we would love to connect and see you and continue to create this network. Hopefully, bring you to Puerto Rico, too, so you can come and see here. Have you been here?
I would love it. I would love to go to Puerto Rico. I mean,
you haven't been here?
No. And to be honest, like, the Spanish-speaking countries are the ones that I feel like are the countries that need us the most right now, because there's Italy needs help too, but Italy is like really banned everything. They don't want it. In the Latin-speaking countries, they want it. They want more information. They want education.
Yeah.
Am I losing you?
Yes. No, I'm here. Yeah, that's definitely something that is very needed, because the Latin American communities were the ones who were definitely oppressed and have been impacted by all this war on drugs. And there's a lot of women, a lot of stereotypes and a lot of stigmatism when it comes to, you know, Mexico, Colombia, even when we went there. And even though they have auto cultivation there, they could auto cultivate up to, I think, 8 to 10 plants, you know, on their own. But there is not an industry. There's not a lot of tinctures and vapes and different types of products. And they're still very, very hungry for that knowledge. We're going to Colombia to the first investors and cannabis entrepreneurs meet, where accredited investors are going to be there to listen to different cannabinoids pitch their business so they could get capital.
That's great.
It's the first one that is done in Latin America, because venture capital in Latin America, in Colombia, Mexico, is not as well known as it is in the States or maybe Canada, maybe Europe. So it's definitely a need that.
But I truly don't believe that needing other people's money is not always a good thing. And try to do it yourself as long as you can.
Yes,
because
definitely.
It's just more equity you're going to build in yourself and your company. And our company is self-funded to this point. Wow. We never started off with millions of dollars. We had nothing. Like, when I opened my dispensary, I literally cleared out my bank account. And I think my bank account was like negative $30, because I was buying weed with every dollar I had to put weed in cannabis in the store. And it will build. If you build it, they will come. It's a line from a very famous movie, Field of Dreams. And it's true.
And how is it licensing over there? Is it expensive? How much maybe the license is? And it depends on the square footage of
it depends on the business, where it is. But, I mean, they could be upwards of over $100,000 a year.
Wow. So that's why, you know, a couple of entrepreneurs and venture capitalists are joining, because it's definitely something that an industry that has a great potential. But again, the costs are very elevated. That's why always it's good to have some sort of financial backup. And it's great to know that there's people interested.
I think if you just want to make a bunch of companies and sell them off to people, that's a different thing. But if you're going to put your heart and soul into it, and that's, to me, cannabis is something you put your heart and soul into. That's my pet project. So to me, it's not about, you know, sure, you'll need money down the line, but you sell a small percentage of your company, very small, like 10% or something. So you remain in control. You want to stay, you know, in control no matter what.
Yeah, and remain aligned with people. I always tell everyone to find their tribe. I mean, you're not everyone is going to be aligned with your same values and the same, you know, vision that you have for your own company. So definitely find a tribe. Make sure that you are, you know, vibing with the right people who could encourage you and elevate you. Again, take you to that next step to be, you know, above and grow your business. So there's different things that we're doing with Latina Cannabinoids, and we are very happy to have you and inspire other women, because, again, not everyone comes with $1 million like, you know, like some people. We start from the bottom, and we have to encourage those women that it is possible. It's not easy, like everything worth in life. It's not easy. It comes with its challenges. But if you have a great group who supports you, who could encourage you, who could inspire, educate, and elevate, I think that's the goal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's about building a team, a community around you, and people. We need an army, okay? And that's how we've been able to do what we do in California and other states. That's what's lacking in other countries. is the community, the army that comes together to push this. So if anyone who's watching right now, you know, follow people that you see on this chat, because you obviously all have, you know, something in common, and reach out and say hi, you know, and send them a message. Follow everyone. Go to, you know, it's so important to build that community, and people are surprisingly open to making friends with other smokers, right?
They are.
So I really do believe, like, just do it for me today. Just go reach out to one person that's on this chat and be like, hey, sweet, like, if I ever meet you, let's smoke one together.
Yes.
You know, build that community. And that's what I want from this, is that everyone to really respect each other. There's been so much hate and negativity in the industry, and I think it really, I don't see it out of other countries. I see it out of the U.S. I see it out of California and Colorado. There's a lot of anger of people that were in the industry, and maybe we're not able to get licensed and are angry about it. And they tend to, like, use Instagram as a platform for hate, right? And I really, if you look at my Instagram page, you don't see hate. Like, I don't, that's not my thing. I don't want to surround myself in that energy.
Of course. Yeah.
And so I think that we all, like, need a reminder as a community to, like, let's not, someone just said on your thing, just don't smoke mids and you'll be fine. Treat the hate like it's mids. Nobody wants to smoke mids, and, you know, keep the hate there. Because the reality is that we're all stronger together, and people are just, they tend to be mean for no reason when we can just be nice.
Yes, the world is already, you know, mean enough by itself. I don't think we should continue to encourage that behavior. And like you, again, we have to surround ourselves with the things that elevate us, to take us to the next step. You know, if we're going to focus on the negative and have that circle of negative energy, that's what we attract. So I always believe that the universe manifests itself. You just got to make sure that you ask for it, that you surround yourself with those positive energies, and make sure that you surround with people who are aligned with the same goals that you are. So it's definitely, you know, encouraging to find women, to find pioneers. You are so accessible. Like, it's amazing how, you know, easy. I know you're super busy. It was for you to take time from us.
But this is important. This is important to me. This is like my passion project of, like,
amazing.
I want all these women to be connected, because there's a community of women all over the world. When I was in Spanibus, I met some of the most incredible women from all these countries, and they all follow me. They all knew who I was.
Amazing.
They were all, and to me, I felt like they would cry when they met me, because I represented something to them. I represented not being judged to their families, not being, you know, being open, because a lot of them can't be open. And imagine, like, living in that world. Like, we don't live that in that world anymore. Even if you have medical cannabis, you're not, you know, it's okay. It's something that's interesting to talk about. I live where there's medical and adult use. It's okay. But people that live, like, you know, in these little towns, like, think about people in China.
Mm.
Like, there are people in China that can use cannabis. They need it.
They will go to jail. Yes, they will go to jail in other southeastern countries. They could go to jail for just having some on them, and they may need it. It might be for medical purposes, but that's why we have to break the stigma. Like you say, you are the face of women. You inspire us, because, wow, this woman did it all by herself against all odds. She bet on what she knew, and she bet on helping people.
I will say this. I never did it all by myself, okay? Even though I
always have a team.
I started it, and, like, it's my project. I have to look around at all the amazing people that have helped me get to where I am now, my employees. My staff is everything to me, and you have to be able to treat your staff like family, and if they don't treat you like family, your business is going to go to shit. And so that's, you have nice. To be, you know, as a business owner, it's so important to, you know, remember those people. Like, one of my managers at my dispensary has become my best friend over years. And it's like, she's like family. I would trust her with my, you know, my own children if I had any, like, and I don't trust people. So, you know, that's important.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And I see some comments here. I'm actually looking through your comments about people awesome. Lived in Asia and how it's so not accepted. But it's like, if you start a community and you start meeting people and you build it, it's going to happen. Sooner or later, it's going to happen.
Yeah, especially in those countries that are it's not accepted. Just make sure you unite, because, again, the people have a voice, and eventually they will be heard. And I know you have to be involved in the government to make changes, but if there's a community, try to get involved in it. And that's definitely something that could help you and could continue to motivate you. So what has been, I know just there's been many obstacles and challenges, but what has been one of the main obstacles and challenges that you've had being a women entrepreneur in cannabis?
Oh gosh.
Just one, the most, you know, either the most recent one or the one that's giving you the most headache until this day remember.
It's a two-part. The same, like, if I would talk to a guy, like a vendor, about something, he wouldn't, and I would try to negotiate a price, he would be like, oh, where's your husband or your boss or your, like, I couldn't be in charge, right? Wow. And that was really annoying. But when the feds would raid us, and I would be like, I don't know, I'm not in charge, I'm just a girl, and they would believe me, then it actually was the same exact thing, but worked in my favor, so okay. I can't really.
So you know so how to worst, use it in your favor.
The worst thing was the best thing, so I can't, there's no complaints.
It balanced out, they canceled each other out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is something that is very seen in the industry, when you as a woman try to make deals or try to, you know, and especially that it's male dominated, like most businesses are. But when you're the one, no, it's me.
Honestly, I'm the bottom line. I loved that it was male dominated. I loved it.
How is that?
Because I wasn't interested in dating any of these guys. They all thought they had a chance with me. And so it was like, I got away with shit that, like, I don't know.
You knew how to use it to your advantage.
I used it to my advantage. I mean, I have friends that, grower friends, I've been like, they're like my brothers. Like, these are the homies. And yeah, they started off maybe wanting to sleep with me, and then they realized that wasn't going to happen. I got friend zoned them, you know what I mean? But that was great. Like, I have a relationship with them that I feel like their guy friends don't have. And that's super. Because I'm a female.
Yes,
and
it's
I
a
can
different
give them
perspective.
Advice on their girls, you know what I mean, in a way that their guy friends can't. So
that's
it's
true.
Just, we're humans, you know? It's just about being cool people.
Amazing. Yeah. And being able to collaborate and know that there's a limit. Know that, yes, you're the boss. I'm the boss. We're human. So let's try to, you know, make deals and go business as usual. So tell us a bit about any events, any future plans that you have. I know you're all over doing different things, but what's in the near future for Dr. Dina?
Well, I'm speaking this Saturday at Blunt Talks.
Uh-huh,
so anyone who's in SoCal, go check out Blunt Talks page and get some tickets and come out see me.
Okay.
And let's smoke.
Amazing.
I mean, we're smoking together now, so but you can in person too.
In person, just chill and get to know. I know I saw that Blunt Talks has amazing women lined up, and it's very encouraging to see all those women speaking and
It's cool. It's cool to give the keynote speech. I recently gave the keynote speech at Vicente Fox's estate at Canna, Mexico.
Yeah.
So that was pretty darn cool. And then I'm working on a web series. I have a podcast called Cannabis Confidential that I've been doing for 4 years. And I interview celebrities and cool people in the industry, which are celebrities to me anyways. And, you know, just it's a fun little short podcast to listen to on iTunes and Spotify. And then I have a nonprofit. And that's what I'm actually – another passion project is – in the U.S., there are hundreds of people, if not thousands, of people that are spending life in prison for cannabis. And here I am, and I've always given this analogy to people, is when I'm in my dispensary, I would say, here I am, everything's fine, but if a tornado picks me up in my store, like in The Wizard of Oz, and drops me off in Mississippi or in Alabama, I'm going to jail. Even my little dog is going to jail for the rest of our lives. and your little dog, too. For the rest of your lives, because of what's in this room, like the amount of weed and hash and whatever, right? And so I need to be able to give back, because it's like a joke that, I mean, I have a cousin who lives in Ohio who went to jail for selling weed like 30 years ago and came out to California to visit his little cousin's pot store, you know. It was like, I went to jail for like way less weed than you had in here, is what he said.
Wow.
I'm like, you know, sorry, but I want to help people in prison. So freedomgrow.org, go check it out. It's a really cool website. We take donations. It could be, give us a pledge. It could be $1 a month. Seriously, $12 a year is going to make the biggest fucking difference in people's lives. Because I don't take a dollar out of my nonprofit. Nobody takes a dollar out of our nonprofit as far as staff. All we do is take the 100% of the money and we put it on the books of people in jail, especially lifers. So every month they have money to buy some food, call their family. And with that, we help them fill out their clemency paperwork. And we help take some more money and fight for their clemency. And for Christmas, we send their children Christmas gifts.
Wow.
And when they get out of jail, we give them money to start over again.
Amazing.
So it's a really important charity. And there are a lot of men and women in jail that really need this help. And so please go check it out. Like, literally, you could go on there and bid 25 cents a month or whatever it is. It adds up for these people. There are too many people serving life in prison. Even 20 years, 10 years, like... I have a prisoner I advocate for who owned a dispensary in Modesto. His name's Luke Scarmazzo. And he's been locked up for, like, I feel like the entire time I've been in the industry, like 14 years or something, like 13 years, 12 years. And he's got a lot longer to go. And he has a 17-year-old daughter that he never gets to see. And he wasn't doing anything wrong. But he made a rap song called something about fuck the feds, and the prosecutor played it in court for the judge, and so that's why he got extra time, which was fucked up. So, but he didn't deserve it. None of these people deserve it. Like, I don't, as long as it's a nonviolent, victimless crime, like you didn't use a gun to shoot someone in the crime, like I don't care if you have the gun, but as long as you didn't use the gun, that's fine, because, like, you have a right to defend yourself. You're like, that's an American right. Like, I'm not, you know. But if you're using it, that's not the story. If you had other drugs, we're not going to be distributing. But these are all pot cases. And a lot of these cases are conspiracy. It's not, they didn't get charged, like, for cannabis, but it's conspiracy charges. And you can't fight that shit. And they're not going to just get out of jail unless the president actually gives them clemency. So look up clemency for pot prisoners. Go to Can Do Clemency. Can Do Clemency is a great website. I work with them. You can sign a bunch of clemency applications, because we're trying to get Trump to actually sign the applications. He has a bunch of them sitting on his desk right now. And it's really exciting, because to be able to say it's on his desk is like, we've gotten really far. We just need him to sign it. And that's why I cringe when I see people in the industry talking really negatively about him. And I totally get why they're doing that, because they have feelings. But for us, we need to remember that this is the only person that can help our pot prisoners. And we need to just, like, please just sign this. Please just sign this. Just, like, keep tweeting him. Like, Donald Trump, please release pot prisoners. Please sign your clemency applications. Like, if he could do that, like, honestly, that would be amazing.
It still perplexes me, the fact that now it's an industry where people are making so much money off of it, and yet there are people in jail for it, like your friend, like all those people who for possession are still you know, in jail. Here in Puerto Rico, it's federally illegal. So just for possession of the minimum, you know, you could get 3 to 5 years of jail, federal prison time. I think that's just the standard. So that's why we are part of the Minority Cannabis Business Association, who also advocate for social equity, for to make sure that we're represented, to make sure that those people convicted for cannabis possession, for cannabis crimes, should be liberated, should not be convicted, should be able to get in the industry and participate and be able to contribute the way they can. So it's definitely, you know, that's why we do everything to education, activism, and entrepreneurship. I think that that's a mix to inspire, educate, and elevate
that
us.
Is so important. And we have a program in our dispensary where we train people who are social equity applicants. So they come in and we really teach them how to run a dispensary, which takes up a lot of our time. And now I'm paying extra staff to train people so they can have their own shop, which sounds crazy, but like, I want them to succeed, right? It's like, I'm not worried about competition. I never have. Like, people are so worried about like, oh, the other dispensary, competition, competition. I'm like, please, okay? People are going to go to the shop that they feel more comfortable at and they like. End of story. If you have a great staff and people feel connected, because it's always going to be that like dealer kind of like, you want to have a friend that knows you selling you your shit, you know?
Yeah, so you got to have that connection, that personal connection there.
Yeah, but you got to help people. I helped a bunch of people apply for social equity licenses. It's exciting times.
Yeah, and that comes back to you. I always say that if you do good, karma will bring its way around and you'll get that 10 times full, because once you do good to others, it doesn't matter like for if it's a competitor or not. You do good things and good things will come, and you will be the person to guide them through that journey. And right now, that's why you are a pioneer, and that's why you are so loved by everyone, because you're so willing to help, to put yourself out there and to help others, because that's what we need. I mean, we live here, but the next generation will come. If they're not educated on what they have to do and how to continue the legacy that we've left, it's just a matter of getting them involved and educated. So thank you for being this amazing woman in cannabis to inspire, educate, and elevate us. So before we go, just one quick question. What advice would you give to those people interested in joining and going, being an entrepreneur in the cannabis industry?
Oh, this is a very good one. Okay. Here's my advice. It's a two-part advice. Number one, don't get into the industry unless you are passionate about what the plant does. And you really, it's not about the money. If the money comes, that's great. But be passionate, because this is not an industry for the weak, for the faint of heart, for the wusses. This is like a hardcore business, and it doesn't always go well. You have to like be ready for shit, and you have to like, if you're a crier, you're gonna be crying all the time. You're not gonna do so well, okay? Like, this business has toughened me up, and it was hard from the beginning, and so you have to be passionate about the plant and helping people, and more than anything, because everything else is going to aggravate the shit out of you. Number two is respect your elders in the community and the people that built this industry so that you are even here now. And it sounds crazy, but someone told me that when I first joined the industry. And I learned very quickly that it was very important to have the alliance of and the community of the people that did build this industry. And I was very, very close with Dennis Perone, who wrote Prop 215, who recently passed away. I spent a lot of time with him. Wonderful, wonderful human being. And he introduced me to all the like the real people, the people that wrote these laws, that built this. And those are the same people that don't have licenses, are not, they've been pushed out of the industry, and they feel very forgotten and angry. And reach out to those people and let them know that you think they're awesome. I know Dennis is no longer living, but there's a lot of people out there. Check out, you know, just go online and see who your favorite advocate is, and reach out to them and say thank you. Because that does go a long way. And I think it's important to respect everybody. Show their love. Like Mila, the hash queen in Amsterdam, you know, like really dope people. There's a lot of great women out there, a lot of great guys that have been doing this for a long time. And so don't forget to give them props. Don't come in with an ego that you're better than everybody because of whatever reason. Be cool. You know,
amen.
The people
yes.
that are just cool and want to vibe, and like those are the people I feel like go the furthest.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much for such a great advice, Dr. Dina. We won't take up much of your time. It's been great knowing you. Hopefully you come to Puerto Rico and have this amazing time here in the island and enjoy all of our cannabis goodies over here. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for being Latina Cannapreneurs and helping you to inspire, educate, and elevate us. So
you guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.